Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And wow. That's all you can say right now. But for me, I think for both of us, I can speak for us. It's the most painful time being a Leaf fan. A week ago when we were doing the podcast, we were like we're actually headed into like games 3 and 4 and everything was going good. And then, yeah, it's just a disaster. That's for me to say something that's the most painful time. Like, that's saying something considering, well, both of us watched this team through the Ballard years. And just have a few opening thoughts. As a season seat holder, and I think some of our listeners probably know that, we are season seat holders for 28 years now. And I remember, I know, Syl, do you remember when the first couple of years where Shanahan had taken over, he said that subscribers were board members. And actually, they
did change it to, we're not really subscribers anymore, we're members. So it's a membership now. Okay. It's not.
And
they changed the wording though, for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they needed to answer to us.
Right.
So I remember that. And they had us down there for like a lunch or whatever. And I don't know who was the GM at the time, whatever, that we could do like a little question and answer session with the GM was there. I know that. And
I think like Tim Lewicki was there at that time also.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I basically want that back now. So, Brendan Shanahan, if you are listening, Brendan Shanahan, let's set up a date for that, because this is just not right, what's going on. Just a few things that stood out for me from this epic collapse, or choke job, some people are saying. That's the first time I actually said it today, but technically it is. Basically, there's a lack of killer instinct in this team. We talked about it. Killer instinct, they need that. We talked about it in our playoff preview. You can't teach that, unfortunately. So I don't know where they're going to get that from. Also, in our playoff preview episode, and even you mentioned last week, I think, in our last episode with Daryl Sittler's words, you don't want to be known as a regular season player. He said Austin Matthews knows that. Really? That's quite interesting. And I know both of us, maybe me a little bit more, but I think the alumni need to be more involved with these players. I'm sorry, there's something with being a Toronto Maple Leaf that these alumni players, I think, have a lot that they can provide to these younger players on the team, because they are still young. They're only like 23, 24, 25. And then the other thing I said in our playoff preview show, I said that we need to take control of the series. Well, we did. We were leading 3-1. But I guess I wasn't good enough to say we also need to close the series and just do it as fast as we can. So bottom line, our top players were not our top players. That's what cost us the series. Matthews and Marner with a combined 1 goal, 3 assists in the series. And that's just not good enough. And even if they were like just a little bit better, we probably would have won this series, just a little bit better.
But I mean, that's what we've been saying for the last
five years.
Yeah. We just need to be a little bit better.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's 5 years. Technically, I guess if you want to, like, that first year was a gift versus Washington.
For sure.
Versus the Capitals. Okay. So,
and actually, that was probably the best that I felt in this whole process.
Yeah.
No, that was exciting.
Yeah. And really, the only thing that makes me feel better today is that I will have less stress because I won't have to watch them anymore for a few months. So that's my little rant for now. I don't know if you have anything else to add from that.
Well, first of all, I really wish there was a better term than killer instinct. I don't really like that term. But yes, I mean, obviously, I agree 100%. There's a very distinct lack of urgency in their play. 100%, I agree with everything you said. Like, I, for one, right now, I don't even know how I feel. I feel actually like I'm in shock right now. and I am numb. Like, I just don't feel anything. And I'm leaning more towards feeling apathetic than any kind of emotion. And to me, if you are MLSE, that's not really where you want to leave your fan base, you know, kind of feeling like, you know, they are taking the joy out of this game for me right now. I'm sure I'll get over it and things will change. But
we always do, because we're diehard fans. But the new fans, like you're saying, could potentially lose people. Yes. Yeah.
Especially younger people, you know, lots said about the attention span that, you know, different generations have. How long do they think people are going to hang on? You know, at some point, people are just going to say, you know what, I got better things to do with my time, potentially.
Yeah.
And move on along. Anyway, I definitely do feel like I need a break. Other than that, you know, we are going to get into the nitty gritty. Before we do that, I did want to say that one bright light was the fact that they were able to, at the last minute, get healthcare workers in. 550 people got to watch the game, and one Hab fan that they kept showing, I guess, left happy. But the fact that they were able to get fully vaccinated healthcare workers in, you know, do or die, you still want to be there for game 7. So that, it was fantastic. The other thing I want to say before we move on is just thank you, everyone who participated in our Ladies Talkin' Leafs game day polls that we had running on social media. We were going to get into the details, but obviously with the way things are going, we're just going to get into the painful truth and get into the details of the series. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs. So let's get right into it with our thoughts on the play in games 5, 6, and 7. We actually did win games 3 and 4, and game 4 was actually a very decisive win, and we thought that's what they were going to capitalize on, but obviously we know that didn't happen. So Chris, what are your thoughts on what went wrong in those 3 games?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just don't understand. It's the, like you were saying, the urgency. Like, where was it? The lack of emotion. Like, they came out flat in all 3 of those games. Like, it was just, I couldn't believe it. I was just like on the bench, like last night going into game 7 on the bench. Like, there was just there's nothing going on. There was nobody, like a rah-rah kind of thing, right? Like, you know, you would think Simmons, somebody, like, just to try and keep the guys, like, ramp it up a bit sort of thing, right? Like, it's just, it was like they were playing afraid. Like, they were afraid to lose. And
well, especially once that first goal went in, it's like that took the win completely out of their sails. You know, I didn't feel when I was watching that they had it in them to come back. Like, I really felt like other games, like, I thought, okay, they could come back. But last night, for some reason, after that first goal went in, I was just like, this is not happening.
Well, that was the other thing, though. In the other 2 games where they lost in OT, they came back in both of those games.
I know.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
And
but it, like, didn't translate into anything.
No. I don't know. It's almost like normally when you come back like that, like if it was the Bruins, for example, I hate to say this, but if it was the Bruins that came back, they are winning that game.
Oh, 100%.
Like, in overtime. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A team like Tampa, like, they're winning that game. Like, where, like, it's sad because it's like, you make the one mistake again, like everybody, and it's in the back of our net. I mean, I'm not blaming Jack Campbell, or like, definitely in those OT goals, that's fine. But yeah, I just don't know, though. I mean, you shouldn't have to come back like that in both of those games anyways. If you would have shown up for the first 10-15 minutes of the game and basically just taken control and done it. But I just don't. To me, it's a mental issue. Like MLSE needs to get some better psychologists. Well,
like that 100%, I agree with you, because that's what one of the points I was going to make. And we're going to probably get into specific players a little bit, but they need, you know, they've got high performance coaching for everything, but they need high performance coaching for their brains, for their heads.
Yes.
Like, yeah. They, like, you know, they went and they got, you know, some grit and some toughness. And like you said, rah-rah guys like, you know, like Thornton and Simmons and Bogosian and, you know, people like that to fortify the lineup for them to so that they could play, you know, with more toughness as a team. But the problem is there was no team toughness still. And that yeah. is the problem is because that is a trickle down from your top guys. Those are the guys that dictate how tough and how hard your team is to play against. And the problem that I saw is that there was all of these, you know, fly-by plays and no extra effort. You know, where is the second shot? Where is the getting your body in there? Where is the going to the dirty areas? Where is it just, you know, streaking down the ice and taking it to the net and crashing in? Like, you know
yeah.
what?
Yeah, no.
Where
no,
the was that?
The extra effort. It was just, it wasn't there. It was non-existent.
It you know, it was like
it just
one,
didn't make any
one
sense.
Shot, one little poke with your stick. Like,
yeah,
there was no oh, battles. No yeah, battles. We made it so easy for
no,
them.
I know. Yeah.
They,
yeah,
that's
no,
one
exactly.
thing I would say that you have to give Montreal full marks for is they got a stick on everything. They got yeah. their sticks in there everywhere. And we just were not able to fight through it at all. Like, it's like, I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the performance of the players, like you were mentioning. Okay. So, let's start off with Mitch Marner. He's getting roasted right now.
Yeah.
All over the place. But 0 goals, 18 playoff games. I mean, the thing that caught me, I mean, they kept harping on the 0 goals and 18 playoff games. That's fine. He's not really a goal scorer. He's a playmaker, but still, mm-hmm. I mean, that's not good. But his comment after game 6, I was like, where he said again that they weren't ready to play at the start, like at the drop of the puck. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, why are we hearing this again? And why are you even saying that? Like, mm-hmm. he said it last year in Columbus too, in game, mm-hmm. I think it was game 5 in the deciding game. He said that. He said they weren't, they didn't start on time. They weren't ready. And I was like, why are you saying this? And why weren't you ready? Like, how can you not be ready for a game that, I mean, you had the chance to close it out. You didn't do it on game 5. That's fine. Okay. You got another opportunity. You better be ready that night. And you're not. You're admitting it.
Well, and he was 100% not ready because like the boneheaded things that he did, which are so not like him.
It's just so funny because like that's the puck over glass penalties, basically.
Exactly.
Like he had 2 of them, right? I think. Mm-hmm. Or do you have 3? I don't know. We had
3.
More than he had 3, right? Because mm-hmm. I think that's how many we had in the whole series. But it was, yeah, that was just bizarre. It was like they were saying, like, he heard footsteps coming from behind mm-hmm. and he just wanted to get rid of it. But in the most recent one on Saturday night in game 6, like, there wasn't, that Montreal player was like, I don't know how many feet away from the person.
There was no pressure at all.
There was nobody there.
I know.
And that's where the mental thing comes in, I think.
Well, you know what he reminds me of? And this is the analogy that when I think of Mitch is there's 2 things that come to mind. You know, we all know this person when we're in school who is the high achiever, the person who gets straight A's all the time. And then they go to university and it's a little harder than they're used to and they fail out. Or they go to take an exam and they just can't handle exams. So they're great in class and they do really well in school, but at exam time, they just can't handle the pressure and they fold. He's that kid for me. Like this is why they need to be talking to him. I don't know if they need to be talking to his parents. At this point, he's an adult.
No,
so
I
really
personally,
that's
I think
beyond
his dad
that,
is-
but
Yeah, personally, I think his dad is a problem. Let's just say, just
but the, like, the point
he should
is,
be staying out of it.
The point is, though, that they really need to be looking at, okay, what is it, Mitch, that you need that you don't already have? Because clearly there is something more that you need to meet that, to get to the next level. I mean, this is his development is his. Basically stagnated, you know. Like you said, he is right now a regular season player right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
This
is the other thing about him that I've noticed is that the only time he seems to play well is when he's able to have fun, and he's only able to have fun when he has the space to do the things that he wants to do, and when that space is lost and he can't seem to adjust his game. Then his game folds because he cannot break through that. He cannot adapt to the difference in play. You know, there's a lot of talk, and I'll mention this now, a lot of talk about, you know, stylistically, the Leafs, you know, can't play in the playoffs because of the style of their game. But I would argue that there's no team in the league that plays the exact same style in the playoffs that they play in the regular season. The whole thing is that you do need to adapt to playoff hockey. You need to know that your space is going to be limited. You need to do things quicker. You need to think quicker. Maybe that's his problem, is that he's used to having more time for his vision. And that time is taken away now in the playoffs and he just can't adapt. So they need to find a way to figure out how they can get that mental switch to go off. But really, it's an effort thing too. You know, you need to fight through that. You need to be resilient. You need to fight through that adversity. These are the things that I see with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, when you're saying you weren't ready to play, like, I mean,
well, that's the other thing that drives me crazy is that he does not seem, he sounds like he's playing for a peewee team all the time.
Yes.
Hello, you're an adult now. You can say, I wasn't ready to do it. I didn't do it. Yeah. It's not always about the team. And if you're a real leader, at some point you look yourself in the mirror and you say, look, I need to do different. I need to be better. Because look at poor Jack Campbell. The guy played great. He's throwing himself on his sword all the time. He's actually the other way.
Yes.
Is that he basically beats himself up, which is not good either. But at
the same I'm worried about him.
Yeah, me too.
Going into if we're going to actually go with him next season, like that's not a good place for him to be and to be a starting goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs. No. That's just not good. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's how I feel about Mitch. I just think that they need to, that's basically where they need to start with him, is to figure out, you know, how to get him, you know, thinking faster, studying something like something. It's in his head. It's his head that is not in the right place.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I know he looks up to Dougie Gilmore, too, like, as, and I know that they have conversations of the, like, as an alumni, I know that, I see that.
Well, talk about the ultimate person who can adapt.
But I think, though, I don't know, that connection and just being the local guy, I think he's putting too much pressure on himself, too, that way.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. I agree with that.
And when it comes to that, though, and dealing with it, it's kind of funny with Nylander. Like, it's kind of funny because everybody thinks that he's too, like, la, 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 like, too free-spirited kind of thing, right? But in some ways, that's actually works well in this market, or has worked well for him.
He has an unshakable self-belief, and that really showed. He was the only one, really, out of that core four. I mean, obviously, one of them we know had no choice in the matter. But he's the only one that was able to sort of rise to the occasion. Although, even he could have played better last night, I would think, also, even though he did have that goal. Sort of late.
Yeah, no, that was the last goal. I mean, they basically got shut out in both games. Like, yeah, it was like 3-0. And but yeah, no, I had no problem in the series overall with Nylander. I thought he played as well as as all of the core four, basically. Mm-hmm. And we can't talk about John Tavares, obviously, because he wasn't playing. But I had no problem with him. But going to Austin Matthews now. Mm-hmm. My God, we praised this guy so much during the regular season. And I mean, obviously, he wasn't horrible. But when you're the Rocket Richard winner and you only get one goal in a 7-game series, like, personally, I think, I mean, they haven't talked to anybody yet. Personally, I think something's wrong with that wrist.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, because like in the earlier games, like he was kind of roughed up quite a bit. And, you know, like when they were ragdolling him and blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, and he was taking a lot of physical abuse. I actually do wonder if something happened that basically took him off his game a little bit physically.
Not to make any excuses for him, but I mean, that's...
No, but even he didn't find a way to adapt his game, and that's just basically it.
Yeah, because he was... A lot of the shots he took, like, they were wide, I noticed. He missed the net quite a bit.
No, I know. Like, his accuracy wasn't quite there.
Yeah, which is what I thought. Maybe there is something, like, if they need to go in surgically on the wrist and do something, like, go in the off season, I don't know. But... Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't enough. That combination for the two guys that we depend on, and they're the most paid, obviously, at $11 million and $10 million. And everything's been done for them. Like, everything, like, they got rid of Babcock. They brought in, better defense. We got TJ Brody, who I thought was great in this series. We got depth on defense. We got a goaltender. Nobody can complain about Freddie now. Like, Freddie's gone. He's probably going to go win a cup with Edmonton and McDavid or something, because that's what all good former Leafs do, right? Kadri's gotten suspended, but he'll be back and just in time for Colorado to win the cup or something like that this season. Like, that's what all former Leafs that actually love being Leafs do. I mean, everything's been done for these two players to set them up for this moment. And I think they really, and I think given Kyle Dubas and his personality, I just think like he has to be one of the most disappointed people right now in those two players. Yeah.
It's but, like a dagger to the heart for him, I think, because really it's like,
Moving on to Morgan Rielly. I was fine with him too. I mean, he only we'll get into a little bit we won't get into the like all the contracts and everything and who's going where and what. So we're going to have our next show will be about that. But he is going next year into his final year of his contract. And I mean, the guy plays a hell lot of heavy minutes. And if depending on what Sandin does and how he develops too, like, I mean, I suppose he can replace Rielly, but I don't see that right now say Sandin is ready for that.
Yeah.
And Rielly, for me, like, he was the first guy out, like, on the podium to talk. And
yeah, you would think that Mitch would see that as an example. I mean, this is a guy that does take responsibility. You know, he shows up.
Yeah.
He faces the music, and he doesn't deflect and say, you know, lump everybody together. I mean, he does that, but at the same time, he also takes responsibility for his own stuff.
Yeah. But I thought he played, I mean, the fact with TJ Brody, I think it really, that pairing really meshed well for its first year
especially in the playoffs. I actually thought they elevated their game, and Rielly in particular elevated his game over the playoffs for this round anyways, because I didn't think he had a particularly good season. I mean, that's well documented in previous episodes. But I thought that he did raise it to another level. So,
yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with him. Jack Campbell. Like that goal. last night in game seven, that wasn't a good goal. I mean, it was right through the five hole. He might have been able to stop the OT goal as well by Kotkaniemi. I guess that was in game six, I think. Yes, I think so.
But like we said, like we didn't think he needed to be perfect, and he just needed to be one better, right? But
yeah,
and we didn't score.
It's the same, that's the same story Freddie had last year.
Yeah,
Freddie had two games with where it was like we lost 3-0 or 2-0 against Columbus. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to win a game if you don't score.
No, 100%.
And
I think that in a sense, Campbell is a little bit saved by his style on that too, because his game looks like it takes a lot more effort. So whereas Freddie's game is just more positional, so he doesn't move as much, right? So it makes it look like he's not trying as hard technically, but that's not the case. I think in a sense, though, Campbell is somewhat saved by that.
But I do worry about him moving forward a little bit. We'll talk about that in another episode, but like just the mental part of the game and him being too hard on himself. I guess a couple of thoughts on the Habs here too. We said before too, like for Carey Price, like we said it from the playoff preview, that you know there's no way they cannot say that they were goalied. And I still say that because yes, he was vintage Carey Price. He managed to do it, even though I said I didn't think so, to come back from whatever injury he had and then just start up like that in the playoffs.
It was a concussion, like which is so shocking that he was able to ramp up his game like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sorry. Like we said, in 1993, Cujo had those like 60, 70 shots. Somehow, Doug Gilmore, Wendell Clark, Dave Andrechuk, and the boys, they managed to get it in the back of the net.
Well, and there were some games where we were losing. Like, there's like one game where we were losing like 6-0 or something like that. Like, obviously, yes, that was a different era, so you're not going to get that same kind of thing. But the whole point is that there were some mammoth comebacks in that year.
Yeah. And I mean, overall, their game, like, was not great. Like, it was boring, really. Like, last night's game, too, it was boring.
Well, the thing is, though, it was all predicated, and this is the thing, is that I do think that the coaching staff needs to look at why we have trouble against inferior teams, less skilled teams, teams that basically have to, you know, use the stick work and getting in the way and stuff like that, and waiting for that one mistake to potentially capitalize on with some speed to beat us. You know, they're not beating us with skill.
No.
They have players that have some skill. I'm not saying they're completely like devoid of that, but really it was their relentless forecheck. They had the extra effort all the time. So, you know, whereas we're, you know, our guys are used to stripping people of pucks, they were getting the puck stripped. That's what it was.
Yeah. And, well, the other thing too with the Habs, though, which I thought we could have definitely exploited this. They basically played with 4D in those three games. Mm-hmm. Like the top 4D, it was Sherratt, Weber, Petrie, and Edmondson, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Those four guys played, a couple of them played over 30 minutes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the other two were close to 30 minutes at least. They were playing over half the game.
Right.
How our guys could not like take advantage of that situation. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, I think some of that is coaching too, because I honestly, the one thing with Keith, and I might be, you know, getting into this a little sooner than we wanted to.
We can go into that now. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
Is that, you know, for a guy that we've been praising for being able to make adjustments, where were the adjustments? He did, like, it was always like 11th hour things, maybe little tweaks, but very minor. And he really was just dead set against moving Austin and Mitch away from that matchup with Deneau in that line. Like, yeah. Why? Like, he did not want to. He was like, we're not going to protect them. Like, what was this, like a test or something? And they used this year to, like, that's maybe that's what it was. Maybe they were basically throwing them to the wolves to see what they would do because this is a throwaway. I don't know. Nothing really makes sense. That doesn't make sense. But yeah, like, he just wasn't trying to get them any better matchups at all. And there was just no adjustment.
Yeah, like he said at the beginning of the series, like, he's not worried. He was very calm, cool, collected, saying, oh, he's not worried about any matchup, like, whatever.
Yeah.
He's just going to roll the lines however he doesn't have to. But at some point, you have to realize that you have to change. And it was funny, like he said last night after Game 7, he said the Habs made some adjustments from Games 5 to 7.
Where's your adjustment?
Where's your adjustments to that then? If you're acknowledging that, what did you do? You couldn't figure it out? Like, what the hell are we paying you for?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're supposed to figure out.
I will say, too, that, like, I don't know why they didn't learn from the fact that the Habs had that horrific challenge, why they made that challenge.
Yes.
Honestly, if they wouldn't have done that, we probably win that game and we're, you know, home and cooled out.
Yeah, no, I that was ridiculous. And then also when it comes to the coaching.
And the power play.
And his use of Nylander, though, I have to say, like, that was ridiculous that he did not. He was going from the start of the series, from game one, Willie was going. When you have a player on fire like that, like, you get him in as many situations as possible.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, normally he has always been the guy that he plays whoever's going. And for whatever reason, he was not willing to budge on his plan this time around. I think that he actually really overthought things and he just needs to be more in the game.
He's going to have to answer.
As opposed to in the game management. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to have to answer to Dubas and Shanahan or who, because he basically got out coached again. He got out coached last year versus Tortorella. Mm-hmm. And now he got out coached to an interim coach, this Ducharme guy.
Yeah. It's like he swung. I don't know. Maybe next year he's going to find the right mix. But like last year, he over-switched things up. He over-adjusted all the time. This year is the opposite. So, like, he's, like, swung a whole 180. Maybe next year they're going to find a happy medium there and he'll, you know, figure out, you know, how to get the pulse of the game. But I just think, they need to be a little bit more. At this time of year, eye test should take some more precedence than just straight analytics because it's a completely different animal.
Yeah. Like, and I guess the use of Thornton as well and Foligno. I mean, Thornton, like, this is where Willie comes in as well. Like, Thornton should not have been on power play one for even in the regular season. But anyways, again, it's that stubbornness. Somehow they just had him there. And why they actually had Thornton, like, why they didn't sit him even on the, like, one of the games at some point, like, sit him, give him a break. Maybe he would have played better, right? To give him that extra day off. And Foligno, unfortunately, that whole thing just didn't work out for us. That deal, basically. He was playing injured the whole time and of the few games that he played for us. And, again, like, Kerfoot was, like, amazing in this playoff.
Yeah, he really raised his level, for sure.
Yeah, and, but.
But he's only Kerfoot.
Yeah.
You know,
but, like, the only thing is, though, he had that chemistry with Willie and Galchenyuk.
Yeah, and then he broke
it up. And then Foligno comes back, who can barely skate, and they put Kerfoot back on the third line. Like, why would you do that? Like, when you see something and you know this other guy isn't 100%, that he's going in there because he's a veteran player. He thinks he can still give something anyways in the lineup. But I don't know. Keefe definitely, again, he got out coached. And I mean, there's only so many learning experiences that these guys can, that as fans, that we can give them. I mean, this is his second year. Next year is going to be, well, I guess year and a half, because he took over halfway through 2019. Next year, hopefully things will be a little bit more normal and he'll go in.
That is the one caveat that I would say, is that there's a whole, this is like a really abnormal situation for everyone and for the team, for the players. You know, that's not an excuse, because obviously there's teams that have been managing to do fine with this. But at the same time, too, in the States, it's different than here as well. So it's a lot more normal back down there than it is here right now. I don't know like how much of, you know, how much they're missing the typical support that they would get, you know, from, you know, not just family, but also friends, other people that they have in their lives that could have been, you know, bolstered them a little bit more during this to give them some more resilience to kind of help them through. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. And then, just going back to the power play for a bit. I mean, we said it too in our playoff, special teams are huge, and in the playoffs especially. But basically from March 1st, this power play has been shit. Excuse my language, but that's basically it. And they have not been able to figure it out, which is truly unbelievable with the amount of talent and skill and everything that this team has. Mm-hmm. They were 12 for 110 opportunities from March 1st to the end of the season. In this series, they were 3 for 23. And again, we mentioned how, like, with Thornton being on power play one for basically all the series, like, I think Nylander, and I don't know last night if he got in there maybe once, but it was just so many. It was like they're always looking for that pretty play, and like they're overpassing totally, like, all the time. And like the zone entries, they started to get a little bit better, I think, on it, but they never figured it out. And I don't know if that means that Manny Malhotra was in charge of that. I don't know if that means that he's getting fired, because the Paul McFarlane, I think, was the guy before he left. He was in charge of the power play. So everybody that gets in charge of the power play is going to leave because they can't figure it out. Like, at some point, that has to give you an indication, okay, like, what are these players not understanding or not getting?
Well, I mean, this is the thing, is that, like, you have to figure out if you can, you know, work with Mitch. Like, are you going to be able to get him to his potential? Because everything goes through him. And until they stop maybe taking that away, and he realizes, like, that's the other thing, is that, you know, like, how many gifts are you getting? You know, like, they keep going to the well when you're not producing. So at some point, shouldn't you be saying, you know, I know that they are paying him that much money, but at some point, should he not be taken off that top unit if he's the quarterback and he can't get it going? You know, and he can't adapt and he can't adjust and he can't create something for his teammates, like, you know.
Yeah, like, I'm even thinking too, like, maybe, I mean, it's not as punishment thing, but maybe it's too much pressure to don't have the A on his jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big thing to have on your jersey.
Yep. That's true. That's a good point.
Maybe he's
not ready
yell yet. And scream, but maybe that's not what he needs to think about to have that A on the jersey.
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
I think that there were times this year where he looked like he had some joy back in his game again compared to last year, but I still haven't really seen him, like, kind of back to his quote unquote more normal, you know, exuberant self on the ice. Like, there's just, he just seems like there's a lot weighing on him. And of course, you know, we talk about everything on the ice. Like, we don't really know what goes on in these guys' personal lives or what's going on. I'm not making that as an excuse or for whatever, but, you know, there is always that kind of, you know, potentially in the back of the mind.
He's one of the people on social media too, sort of thing, which these players need to not be on, especially when you're a Toronto Maple Leaf or in a Canadian market, because there are lots of crazy people out there saying stupid stuff.
But I mean,
there,
like, even for him, like, he's a gamer too, right? And that's another kind of social media completely. Yeah. It's like they're playing online with people. You know, if you're playing in a league or just generally online with people, you know, even if you're disguised, who the heck, you know, people, you might hear stuff like that, you know, negative stuff there too. So, it's, I don't know. Bottom line is he needs something right now that he's still not getting as far as being able to, you know, take it to the next level and reach his true potential. So they got to figure out what that thing is.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I guess one thing we didn't talk about yet was Tavares and how the injury may have affected things. So what were your thoughts on that and closing that up?
Yeah, that part of it, I just wanted to mention there that, like most teams, again, if it was another team, I always go back to the Bruins somehow. Maybe because we faced them so many times, but teams tend to rally around that. Like that gets them going. Like especially like when he was in the building that time. Like
I know, and
five.
That's the one we really laid an egg that night. Yeah. I was almost wanting to say, you know, maybe he shouldn't be there. Maybe, you know, when he was on the ice in the morning, like came in that day, and he talked to the guys, and
yeah. Like, I don't know, normally, in normal cases, that would get the team together to get them over the hump. Mm-hmm. I thought that's a good thing, but maybe, I don't know, I thought it was bizarre that it just didn't work out that way. That, I mean, not that they weren't happy he was around, but I don't know, they just didn't have any energy.
They had
no urgency, no desperation. Lack of intensity. It's bizarre, really, what happened. But yeah, that's all I wanted to mention about JT. And I mean, it was good that he came back, definitely, and glad to see him on the ice. And hopefully, well, he should. Looks like he's going to be ready. I thought maybe he was going to miss the whole series, even like next season. I thought he was going to miss some time, but he was skating, so hopefully he'll recover by the time puck drops in October again.
Yeah, and that's when it turned out he was that consistency he provides was a huge, huge hole that we could never dig out of. And then when Muzzin went down, also, that just again was the nail
that's
in the
another,
coffin, I think.
That's another problem for us because he's a huge part of that defense, and we just don't have anybody that can replace him.
No.
As the next man up. Sorry.
Which is like
there's
crazy,
nobody
but
that brings that.
You think that really like, but it really is true that somehow he's the backbone, but you know,
for sure. Yeah.
The sad reality is he's not getting any younger either. And he's not going to be able to play. And obviously like the fact that he's getting these injuries at these really, really inopportune
key times,
it says something. I mean, he's not going to be able to do this forever. In such a physical situation. So
anyway,
the sad thing is, number one, this was like a huge missed opportunity for our Leafs. Montreal is not a very good team. To a man, there was nobody who thought that they were going to win. So of all the teams that made the playoffs, Montreal had the worst record.
Yep.
Out of all
And they're
of
still
them.
There now. So they're still the worst record, and they're still in it.
So you mean they're gonna have to scratch and claw their way up, but I don't really anticipate that they're gonna get much further. Just like Columbus didn't get much further last year.
No, this is their Stanley Cup. We were talking about this before.
100%.
This is every team when they beat the Leafs. Mm-hmm. That's their Stanley Cup for the year.
Well, and I mean, given what they went through this year, you know. I give them credit and kudos and good on them. But anyways, if you have any thoughts on what we talked about today on the show, you can DM us on any social media platforms or email us at ladiestalkinleafs@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on all our social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And our handle is at LTL1917.
Yeah. And another way to connect with us is at ko-fi.com. It's ko-fi.com. There you can follow us. And if you choose, you can support us there and buy us a coffee. Any donation goes to helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes. And there's a lot of good stuff on the show notes too, with different articles that we use for the show. And on our social media profile pages as well, you can find the link. As always, we thank our healthcare workers and everything that they do. Stay safe and well, everybody. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with our season in review podcast and where we think the Leafs are headed in this off season.
So we'll talk to you then.
Yeah.
Go Leafs, go.